What the hell is cap and trade, even though we've been living under it? Joining us right now to talk about it is the co-publisher of Fox and Hounds Daily and an adjunct professor at Pepperdine University, a place I would have failed out of in 3 minutes. Welcome back to the show, Joel Fox. Joel, how are you?
I'm good, Doug. You would have enjoyed the view, at least, from Pepperdine.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I tell you something, I'm serious.
When I
moved out here and the first time I drove Topanga Canyon to the beach, or Malibu, I guess Las Virgenes, and I went down to the beach past that campus, I thought, oh, my God.
Yeah.
With that rolling lawn going
yeah.
down to the Pacific Ocean, yeah. I wouldn't last 5 seconds here.
Yeah.
You couldn't build it today, Leanne, because the Coastal Commission wouldn't let you.
Oh, but, what a beautiful place, though.
Lucky.
By the way, Doug, I'm going to see you at Politicon in 10 days.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Are you on one of the panels?
No, I'm not. I have a press credential. I was there last year. I covered it a little bit for Fox and Hounds, and they asked me to come back.
Well, go easy on me with this George Washington
thing. We'll see.
We'll see how this segment goes. By the way, brilliant insights thus far, Joel. hey, look, so listen, could you walk us through, I've been reading online, I've been trying to learn more about cap and trade. I know it's about CO2 emissions, and I know that the proponents claim that it's a market-based solution to pollution. But it's very complicated. Can you explain to us what the hell cap and trade is?
I will try. Chapter one. It's really long and complicated, as you say. The cap and trade idea is to set an annual limit on greenhouse gas emissions and force companies to get permits to release the metric tons of these emissions beyond the cap. And the cap gets tighter every year. So if a company cannot achieve its goal, it can go out in the market and buy permits to, I guess you could say, pollute a little bit more as the cap gets tighter.
Now, who gets
permits are sold by the state?
Okay, and they get the money.
Or by other businesses. If one business has achieved its goal and it has a permit to sell, it can sell it to another business.
Okay, got it. So there's an incentive to reduce your CO2s because you can actually pile up credits that you can then sell to other companies and you can make a profit.
That's right. And then, of course, the state receives money when the permits are bought directly from the state. It's about $2 billion a year. It's going to go up. And, of course, one of the criticisms that opponents of cap and trade point to is that about a quarter of that money goes to the high-speed rail project that Governor Brown supports.
Right. Right. Now, and who comes up with these numbers? Where do the numbers come from of how much you can pollute?
Well, the Air Resources Board is overseeing this. Another complaint from the opponents of the measure is that they have tremendous authority. Even the legislature can't trump some of their decisions, but they have tremendous authority, and it's the Air Resources Board which oversees this policy and tries to lower it. By the way, we should understand that when this came into effect, the original law on climate change was passed in 2006, signed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. The cap and trade portion to help reduce the pollutants to 1990 levels by 2020, the cap and trade effort came into effect in 2012, so 6 years after the bill was passed. We are probably going to hit that goal. We are probably going to reach the goal of having, by 2020, the greenhouse gas level we had in 1990. Now, what this extension does for 10 more years, Governor Brown wants to extend it for 10 more years and drop the greenhouse gas level to 40% below what we had in 1990, a tougher goal to reach, but that's what he's about. And really what he's saying is, and how much will this affect, I guess the other question is, how much will this really affect pollutants in the air? One of the arguments made against cap and trade is, look, California only contributes 1% of the pollutants in the world. We get a lot of stuff drifting over from China
right.
and from India. We really don't affect it. What Governor Brown says is this is a model for the other states and for other countries to follow, and that's why he was so adamantly supporting it.
Now, we're talking with Joel Fox, co-publisher of Fox and Hounds Daily and professor at Pepperdine. I've got so many questions about this, just because I'm
yes.
Trump. Before we get into the politics of it and all the other stuff, I just want to make sure I understand the thing we've been living under. So it seems to work.
Right.
It's got, of course, a political component that's, you know, to the advantage of Jerry Brown's legacy. Jerry Brown considers his bullet train, his crazy train, to be part of the solution to CO2s because he thinks if there's a high-speed rail link connecting San Diego to basically Canada, ultimately, that people will get out of their cars. And theoretically, that's true. So he's siphoning off a good chunk of this money as a funding source for the crazy train, because there is no source of funding for the crazy train beyond what California puts in. A Republican Congress is not going to be handing the bluest of blue states billions of dollars so Jerry Brown can have a legacy project. And everybody knows that.
Right.
But I'm going to divorce that for a second because I'm just interested in cap and trade. Cap and trade proponents say that the reason we don't hear about acid rain anymore is that versions of cap and trade between Canada and the U.S. have eliminated the problem of acid rain, largely eliminated the problem of acid rain. Now, I have no idea if that's true or not, but that's what they say. Now, critics, and this is interesting, there are critics of cap and trade, California's cap and trade, on the right, who look at it as nanny statism and repellent to business. But there are also critics on the left who say that the problem with cap and trade is it basically allows people to continue to pollute. They just have to pay a sin tax.
Yeah, so this is where it gets really complicated. I mean, you can have, I've heard critics on the right say, look, cap and trade has been tried in Spain and Austria and hasn't worked there. And as you pointed out, the Canada example of acid rain. We were moving toward the goal between 2006 and 2012 when cap and trade came in place. From 2006 when the law was passed, 2012 cap and trade came in place. We were actually moving toward the goal without cap and trade, but cap and trade may have helped reach that goal of bringing down the greenhouse gas emissions to the 1990 levels. So that's one factor in that debate. But, you know, it has been worked over by both sides where the some of the social justice environmentalists say there's too much pollutant, there's too much give to the industries, and that's why they opposed it. It was a very unique debate, Doug, up there. You had Republicans, conservative Republicans, standing up and saying, look at these environmentalist groups. They're against it, too. Now, they were against it for a different reason. They didn't think it was tough enough, where the conservative Republicans say it's going to cost too much. On the other hand, the Democrats were looking at big business and saying big business is for this. And it comes down to the reason big business was for it and the social justice environmentalists were against it was because of another term I'm going to throw at you, and it's called command and control. And what Governor Brown basically said is if you don't pass cap and trade and allow some market force to deal with these emissions, then I am going to turn it over to the Air Resources Board, and they're going to command changes to the business community. They're going to make tougher changes. It's going to be more costly, and it's going to be we're going to tell them they have to change their equipment. They're going to have to spend millions of dollars for new boilers, for new mashers, whatever they need in their business, and that's going to be tougher on business. The command and control, actually, the social justice environmentalists like that. They like the fact that we should command this effort, where the business guys did not like it because they said it's going to be a lot more costly. And I think when you talk to Assemblyman Mays later today, he's going to point out that one of the reasons he supported this is because he wanted to avoid that command and control, because he's going to say that would added even more costs onto the fix for climate change. How clear was that, or how muddy was that?
Well, it points out why we put out the bat signal to get you on board here and why we asked Chad Mays to join us as well, because this is one of these things where we hear it floats by in the news, and we hear cap and trade, and we hear people getting their hair on fire and posting in social media that it's either the greatest thing or the worst thing. And it's really complicated. So
really
before, you know, this is one of the traps of the job I've learned over 20 plus years of doing this, that before I start running my mouth with strong opinions on it, I'd like to know what the hell it is.
Right.
You know, and it's an irony because it's harder and harder to just get a straight story on something. There's so much information that we're bombarded by and so much spin put on things that it's very difficult to find out what the basic story is on something so that we can have a conversation.
And I think a lot of times for most Californians, when you hear about it and you just hear Governor Brown just talking about it, you know, for most Californians that don't really follow the news that closely, you just hear, oh, it's for the environment, it's good. Just say yes, you agree with it. And you just think, oh, well, it's good for the environment, so I agree with it.
And I think that that largely carries the day. Obviously, California voters have proven again and again and again that they will simply, if it's labeled as a green initiative, people tend to just vote for it. Joel, thanks so much for coming on with us. Appreciate it very much.
I didn't confuse it any more than I can.
No, we're chipping away and we're getting a little bit more clarity. We'll have plenty more
Thank
to
you.
Talk about it. Joel Fox, always appreciate it. Fox and Hounds and those lucky students at Pepperdine.